This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the MLS UK show. I'm Henry Hewitt, and as always, I'm joined by
Elliot Holman. I was going to say good afternoon. Could be good morning. Could be good evening. I hope you're well.
Yes, it could be any time. The beauty of podcasting, we've only been doing this for, 6 years now, Elliot?
Yeah, I'm still learning. I hope this podcast finds you well.
Well, let's crack on then, because we've got loads to talk about today, or yesterday, or tomorrow, whenever you do listen to this podcast. But we're going to talk about the teams that I don't want to say we never talk about, because we talk about every team here on the MLS UK show. But I want to talk about some of the teams that have had good weekends and kind of gone under the radar a little bit so far this season. But we're going to big them up today. So that means that we're not going to be talking about Miami. They drew anyway to NYCFC. But we will talk about LA Galaxy because they are top of the league. So stay tuned for that. But first, like I said last time, I text you before we record. I say, any teams you want to talk about? Any particular game you've been watching? You came back, Colorado Rapids. They beat LAFC 3-2. Elliot, the floor is yours.
Yeah, well, I watched this game. It was, honestly, it was a model MLS weekend. This weekend, lovely 6 p.m. start in the UK, which is nice. It's not too early. Yeah, you can enjoy your day and then just settle in for the evening. So we had Philly at 6 and then Colorado at 8. And it was a thing of beauty. I was staying with my parents back in Norwich, and I notified everyone. I put everyone on notice that I would be consuming all of the MLS in the evening. And yeah, Philly, solid win. Maybe we talk about that in a little bit. But Colorado have to... We have to start there, because what a performance against LAFC, and some cracking goals as well. The free kick in particular, of course. And just kind of, they've just set the bar a little bit. Beating LAFC, sure, it was at home. Sure, it's against, you know, a team in their conference. But that's not something that we would typically say, yeah, Colorado, go and beat LAFC, easy. So I thought, really big moment. And of course, all the drama was at the end.
Yeah, Milahajevic scored his first goals for Colorado, which I think is going to be a massive signing for them. Obviously, he did well with Chicago, then got his move to AZ, has come back. And for me, I don't know, I obviously know a lot about Jordi Milahajevic. He's US international, but I looked before and I thought, oh yeah, he's only 25. For me, he just seems like he's been around for a lot longer, and he's got a lot of very experienced head on his shoulders. So great to see him getting his first goals. And yeah, before the season, we were like, this Colorado team are cooking. They've got some good players, but then they're managed by Chris Armas. And so far, okay, this seventh, so a playoff spot, but mid-table. But I've been, yeah, a lot better from Colorado, from A, what I expected with Chris Armas in charge, but also B, from last season as well.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it in the first episode. We feared the worst for them with Armas in charge. And then, of course, first game, they conceded 4 goals in the first half against Portland. And we thought, yeah, this is not great. So I'm really pleased to see, you know, we took notice of the fact that their roster was looking good. And I'm pleased that that's finally coming to fruition.
Yeah, exactly. They beat an LAFC team who, we're not going to touch too much on LAFC, but they have signed Kai Kamara this week, who has added to his many, many MLS teams.
11.
Former clubs. 11, yeah, 11th club now. Having signed for LAFC. I mean, Kai Kamara, obviously a player close to your heart with his links to Norwich, but like, what do you make of his signing?
It's interesting, isn't it? I think where 5, 6, 7 years ago, he was expensive and he brought you goals. And he was, you know, whether it was Sporting KC or Columbus, even Colorado. But now it feels like when teams just go and add Kai, like they have in the last couple of years, at sort of like a later date, it's like, okay, well, we've had a look around. We've seen what's on offer. We've seen what's left of our budget cap, our salary cap, and we feel like we might be able to make one more piece work. And if that piece is Kai Kamara, like, I completely understand it. You're not going to go and pay millions, but you are going to try to get him on a deal where he gets to come and play soccer again in the US, which is what he loves. And let's be honest, bring something to the side. It makes complete sense to me. LAFC, you know, are LAFC the team that I would have expected to pick up Kai Kamara? No. Maybe a Minnesota or top of my head, back to Chicago or even a Philly maybe, but like LAFC is, I think because of the stardom that's attached to them, I think it surprised a few people, but it makes complete sense to me.
Yeah, it's, for me, it seems a bit of a stopgap between Giroud signing and now. They clearly need that extra body in there. I mean, you look at some of the teams. I think, here's my theory, is that so Kai Kamara is one goal away from Landon Donovan in the all-time record. I think he's basically gone, come on, guys. I've played for nearly half of you. I need to get to second spot. So can I just sign for someone? And let's see. So he's played for Columbus, San Jose, Houston, SKC, New England Revolution, Vancouver, Colorado, Minnesota, Montreal, Chicago. And they've gone, right, well, whose turn is it? LAFC go, right, we'll have him. He'll score his 2 goals. And then he can go off to, I don't know, another team. St. Louis. They'll just start adding teams to MLS for Kai Kamara to play for. You know, he's not far off Wondolowski, to be fair. I don't think he's going to score. How many would he, quick maths, I think you'd need 27 to beat him. So I don't think he's going to get to that point. But no, it's MLS experience. We say it's vital. So we'll have to see for LAFC, see if he can get his goals. Just quickly off the top of your head, Elliot, who do you think he scored the most goals for in MLS? Which of those teams?
Oh, I haven't got a clue. SKC?
It was SKC, yes, 38. He scored 32 for Columbus, 2 for San Jose, 7 for Houston, SKC 38, and New England Revolution 19, Vancouver 14, Colorado 17, Minnesota 1, Montreal 9, and Chicago 5. So there you go.
There's, I would have gone Columbus or SKC, and I know he scored once for Norwich. I was there. Well, what a time.
If only that was in MLS, then he would be level with Landon Donovan right now. But it isn't. Thankfully for, I mean, you already travel enough from where you live to go and watch Norwich. Yeah. I don't think you need an ocean to travel as well. Right, well, let's move on to the second team we're going to talk about today. And it's RSL. RSL, an impressive win at the weekend, winning 3-1 against St. Louis. Arango has got his hat trick, 21-minute hat trick, I think, at the end of the game. But should he have been on the pitch? Elliot, have you seen this incident? What did you make of it? I personally think if he was playing in the Premier League, he would have been sent off for this.
I agree. But how many times do we say that in MLS? That's not the way it works. Sometimes fortunately, sometimes unfortunately. Hey, look, the Premier League haven't got it right either. You know, they're not completely sorted on refereeing either. Fortunate to be on the pitch? Yes. I understand when you're the team that happens against, it's really frustrating. But ultimately, you've got to try to set, if, you know, if we're going to look at it analytically, we've got to give Arango some credit for still, you know, scoring a 20-minute hat trick in a game for RSL. This is a player that I'm going to say is huge for a team like RSL. I'm really excited to see where they can go with Arango in this kind of form.
Yeah, well, we've said for years that RSL kind of fall in the same place as Dallas, actually, in that sort of teams that make the playoffs, they're around between sort of third and sixth in the conference, but we never get, they might have one season where they get to the conference final maybe, but we never get to MLS Cup. RSL, having got a player like Arango, someone who knows where the goal is, he's fired up clearly. You know, he put in, maybe not the punch to the chest, but he did put in a captain's performance, you know, to get them over the line in this game, to have him in the ranks. He could be the difference. You never know. It's just, I think there's so much sometimes in MLS where we kind of, I don't want to say disregard a player like that, but you kind of automatically go, well, he plays for RSL, so, you know, he's good, but he's not going to get them over the line. This is a guy who could get them to MLS Cup. Now, it would rely on a few teams in the West having maybe iffy playoffs and not quite get, you know, performing there. But with him up top, kind of like a Mukhtar for Nashville as well, you never know. There's always that opportunity.
Feels like the season's just getting started as well. And he's got 5 goals. He's got 4 assists. Head coach is saying he's a driving force behind everything that we do. He's a leader. I think RSL can go places if he stays fit big time.
Yeah, one thing I will say that I didn't like, and it's not the punch to the chest, but what I didn't like, after the game, I don't know if you saw this, but Roman Berkey, the St. Louis goalkeeper, swapping shirts with him after the game. I'm like, who has instigated that? Because if Arango's gone to him and gone, can I have your shirt? I've just got a hat-trick against you. That's a ballsy move. But if Berkey's gone, oh, you just got a hat-trick against me, can I have your shirt? It's like, hang on, I would want to burn that shirt. I wouldn't want that shirt anywhere near me. This guy scored 3 goals against me and now I'm swapping shirts with him. I know, just a personal point of view, but I think that's, if I was a goalkeeper and got asked about that, I'd be like, get out of my sight now. Don't talk to me ever again.
Remember when Messi sent a beer to everyone, every goalkeeper he'd scored past?
Yeah, but that was Messi. I'd be disappointed if that was happening for a Budweiser, and he'd only scored 1 goal against me in like a Copa del Rey match or something, I'd be like, oh, I should have let a few more in, get the party started. But then again, you wouldn't want to be the guy who's got like 20 bottles of messy beer at home.
Right,
let's move on to the next team we're going to talk about. And this is Houston, because we got a tweet earlier in the week at Salford Walshy, who is obviously an MLS fan. He's tweeted us before, who lives near me in Salford. I've never seen him though. He tweeted us going, you've got to talk about Houston, lads. And here we are. If we are going to talk about Houston, they've won 3 in a row. By the way, if there's anyone else we need to talk about, you want us to talk about your team, and get in touch on Twitter at MLS UK Show. Houston, we were worried before the season started, weren't we? Because they've got a few injuries. Herrera's out, a few others. And they've just settled down and they're doing okay, aren't they? They're doing well.
Yeah, Ben Olsen in charge. Ultimately, it's really simple with Houston. Really impressed. Hector Herrera's missing. He was so integral to everything that they did last season, the way that they approached games. I watched a lot more of Houston last year than I usually do as well. Consciously, I'm trying to watch the Western teams that I don't often get to see because of the time, etc. And they're missing Hector Herrera. They're missing their best player. So you think, okay, how are they going to start the season? They're grinding out results. They're doing it without their best player. And when he returns, which he will soon, he's in training, reportedly, building up to, you know, match fitness. Maybe he can come on and play a bit part in the next couple of weeks. They're going to be even stronger. So Houston are a team to watch right now.
Yes, definitely. They've won the last 3 games. Portland at home, no easy game. Colorado away. We've just been saying how good Colorado have been. They won there. And then to beat San Jose, 1-0 down after a minute. Okay, you know, Preston Judd, red card, very stupid. He actually got sent off for hitting someone, thanks to VAR. And then Houston turned it round eventually in the last 10 minutes to score 2. Franco Escobar as well at the far post, which for a former Atlanta player, it was nice to see that he did that. So yeah, Houston up to 5th now in the West and continue to rise. The team at the top of the West are LA Galaxy. Now, this was a very odd game at the weekend because the amount of rain that there was. It's funny in MLS because if you see that in England, where it rains far more in England than it does LA Galaxy, LA, which is not the most shocking thing I will ever say on this podcast, But that match probably gets called off. Yet in LA, they managed to get most of the rain off the pitch. Still impacted the game. LA scored early on, won the game 1-0. Now, the big talking points of this game, and we'll talk about Seattle in a moment, but the LA Galaxy, we have a saying at the end of this podcast that says 5 stars only, and that will continue for a long time. LA Galaxy are top of the West. We might have to find a new phrase.
They are top of the West. It might be too soon to suggest that the West is weaker than the East once again. First of all, fair play to LA Galaxy. Really good start to the season. We touched on it in the last podcast. Oh, I say touched on it. We talked about them a lot. Paint Sill, incredible sign-in, looks absolutely fantastic. I think they've made a really good start because they haven't lost a game. But 3 wins and 3 draws, 3 ties, is enough to get them to the top of the West. I'm not saying it's a bad start. Of course it isn't. They're undefeated. But I think beating Seattle is significant because Seattle are, of course, a big side in the West. But it feels like maybe something's missing in the West. Like, could somebody have lost 1 and 1-5? Or, like, could somebody have got a few more points than LA Galaxy? Absolutely. I think there's more to come from some of the teams in the West.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think LA Galaxy have clearly, you know, took the first 6 games and gone with them and run with them. And, you know, you have to play, you have to beat, or in this case, not lose to the teams that are in front of you. And I think there's been quite a few teams in both conferences that have started slow. If you look at the LA Galaxy's games so far, they drew at home to Miami in the opening game. Obviously, that was all about Messi and Suarez, and they almost won that game. Going then to San Jose winning, Nashville draw, St. Louis draw, going to SKC, who are in a lot better form this year and winning, and then beating Seattle. You look at those teams, apart from Miami, and think, okay, none of those teams have necessarily had an amazing start. They're not going to beating Cincinnati, or they're not going to beating Vancouver, who've also... They've all had okay starts. So LA Galaxy, I think, have done what they've needed to do against the teams they've faced. But I think what I want to say as well is that you are right about that teams will start getting better and perform, you know, picking up. They always say the cream rises to the top, and I think that will be the case. But I also think LA Galaxy have got more to come. You know, they've got some new signings in there that are making a difference already. They will get more used to playing with the likes of Ricky Puig. And I think, yeah, LA Galaxy have been impressed so far. And for this season, and I've said before, maybe it's because they haven't got like a Chicharito or there is Zlatan, or, you know, they've not got this big superstar. I think they've done well in transfers. They've brought some good players in. The DPs are players that are more hungrier than what they've had before. So I'm really excited to see how this LA Galaxy team will do. Do I think they'll win MLS Cup? Probably not. I don't think they'll have enough, but I certainly think they've got enough. They'll make playoffs if they carry on doing what they're doing. But I think they've got enough to push on and go quite far in the playoffs.
If LA Galaxy aren't winning the Supporters Shield, aren't winning the Western Conference, who are you looking at in the early stages?
In the West, let's have a look. Well, I'm not looking at Seattle, who we'll talk about in a moment. But, you know, I think you naturally go to LAFC. I think they've got more to come, even though they're in 9th at the moment. But other than that, you're then looking at a group of teams that are sort of like your RSLs, your Vancouvers, Minnesota's, Houston's, SKC's, where they are, and Colorado, where they've got enough about them to maybe put a charge in, enough about them to get to the top. But I think there's not enough there for me that you're going to see a team that is going to dominate and then get to MLS Cup. I think it is the East to lose this year. But and this is why it's a great opportunity for LA Galaxy, because they've really, apart from LAFC, they've got a bunch of teams that are kind of in the same position as them. And it's all about, can they push on? Can they win the games they need to? So that's why I think LA Galaxy could actually do quite well this season.
Yeah, Seattle, they've played a game less than most. Cut them some slack. However, winless and 3 losses. It's not a fantastic start, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, they've had a few injuries, but, you know, I was watching the wrap up on Apple TV, and Bradley Wright Phillips pointed out, and he made a good point, that they've got injuries, but their front four is probably what they were going to use anyway. You know, you've got Jordan Morris, and they've to say that that front four is still there is probably what they're going to go with going forward, give or take. They've only scored four goals. They've got the joint least amount of goals in the whole of MLS alongside NYCFC and New England Revolution. Like, they just can't hit the back of the net at the moment. Like, you look at the matches they've had so far. Obviously lost this weekend to LA Galaxy. They lost 1-0 to Colorado as well a few weeks ago. 2-1 at LAFC. 0-0 against Austin. They drew against Colorado 1-1, but they lost at San Jose 3-2. Take that San Jose game out of the equation. They haven't scored many, but they haven't actually conceded many either. So that gives me a bit of hope for Seattle that it's not like they're conceding loads of goals. If they get it right up front, which the irony for them is the one game they did actually score more than one, they actually lost the game. But if they can sort it out up front, I think Seattle, it's just a slow start. I can see in a few weeks, if they start scoring goals, they'll be up the table and they'll be pushing into the playoffs. And like we just said, if the West is not a strong league this year, so if a Seattle can go win the next few games, they'll find themselves suddenly up the table and looking towards the top, won't they?
Yeah. Houston, Minnesota, Vancouver, the only teams in the West that have conceded less goals than Seattle. So there's kind of a foundation there. They've just got to go and push and win games. And like you say, they've got that front four, and it's not going to change with players coming back from injury. That front four is pretty set. So you hope they can kick on, but same story for LAFC, for Portland, who are also a little bit further down than we expected.
Yeah. Yes. Right. Well, the final game we can talk about this week. You said before you wanted to talk about Philadelphia. They won. They kicked off the weekend with a 2-0 victory over Minnesota. A good win for Philadelphia. I think they've had a bit, the Champions League debacle kind of has knocked them a little bit, but other than that, I think they're doing okay, aren't they?
Yeah, Carranza making the difference up top, maybe as expected. But the thing is, this is classic Philly, isn't it? We've heaped praise on Minnesota. I looked at that game and thought this is going to be a bit of a ding dong battle. This, and there were chances for Minnesota, of course, but they turn up top of the league, go to Philly, tough place to go, and it's classic Philly. Are organised. They, structurally, tactically, they know exactly what they're going to do, and they execute it perfectly. Win 2-0, make it look easy, and that's where the credit's due. And that's where the credit always goes to Jim Curtin. He knows exactly how he wants that team to perform, and ultimately, it always wins out.
Yeah, I think Philly win when they need to win. Like you said, Jim Curtin knows what he's doing. He's been around for so long, and you look at the table at the moment, they're in seventh place and they're only 3 points off the top, and they've got a game in hand. This is what I mean about Philadelphia. They seem every year they know what they're doing. They know what they need to do. They sort of in and there or thereabouts. And that's why they make playoffs and get to the top of the East so much, is that they won't be worried now. They'll look and go, yeah, we're seventh. Okay. But we're only 3 points from the top with that game in hand. So if we win that game in hand, then we're at the top of the conference, and it's teams are chasing us again. So, big win for them. I thought, as you said, Derby, because Minnesota, they got an offside goal just before Philly made it 2-0. So I think that was at a point where the game were becoming a bit stretched. And I think because it's fine margins, Minnesota got their goal. It was offside. Philadelphia went, right, we'll just go up the other end and score. 2-0, game over. And I think that's what Philly do really well. They win the fine margins, the just little areas of the pitch where they need to just win that area or win that time of the match. They do it, and that's why they've been, they've been successful. They've not necessarily won MLS Cup, but they have been successful. They've been one of the better teams, haven't they, over the last 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, and consistent as well. And you only have to look at the training and the youth setup. They all play that same formation that's going to feed into the way Jim Curtin wants to play. And so huge credit to what's been achieved there. They are a little light on silverware. They deserve a little bit more than they have, to be honest with you, from the last couple of years. But undefeated so far this season, that's all that counts.
Right. Well, that's almost it. Elliot, any other teams you want to talk about?
Let's leave it there for the East, I think.
Yeah, well, the other matches that were this weekend, we had Charlotte 1, Cincy 1, late goal from Cincy. DC, we're going to talk about them in the next few weeks. They won 1-0 against Montreal. They're level with Philadelphia in the East at the moment. Miami 1, New York City FC 1, the NYCFC goalkeeper really keeping them in it towards the end of the game. Orlando 1, Red Bulls 1. Lewis Morgan, top scorer, he's someone we need to talk about in the next few weeks as well, smashing it for Red Bulls at the moment. SKC, impressive win away at Toronto, 3-1. Their next three games are at home, SKC, so they could push up the Western Conference. Austin beat Dallas 2-1 in the Texas Derby. Nashville 2, Columbus 2, Vancouver 3, Portland 2. Impressive start from Vancouver up to second in the West. And Atlanta 3, Chicago 0. And as I say, that Atlanta have won all three of their home games and lost the two away games. Yeah, that's basically where we're going to be, I think, Atlanta this season. But it's good to see Atlanta getting back to the old way of fast-paced, dominant football at home. So, good to see. Right, a bit of news from MLS, the last bits of the MLS UK show. We're just going to mention this. Leo Messi has announced he will retire in MLS. We'll wait and see if that's the case, because he seems to change every week with him. And Kevin Sullivan has signed for Manchester City from Philadelphia Union. Now, is that interesting? Of course it is. An MLS player going to the Premier League. But what's even more interesting, that he's 14 years old. So I think he's going to stay at Philly for a while yet. But Manchester City have bought him, which we've said before, haven't we? It's great to see these players playing in the Premier League and being signed over there. But at 14 years old, I know he's kind of staying around for a bit longer, but you'd love to see him have kind of developed, don't you? Don't you agree? Developed in MLS and then maybe when he's 20 gone over? I don't know.
Yeah, well, that would be the logical, you know, approach for all involved. But unfortunately, Manchester City are in a situation where they can do whatever they want, quite literally. So the player's going to want to go. The club are not going to be able to stand in his way. It's one of those things. Sure, we want to develop these players in MLS and not ideally hold on to them. Is he going to play for Man City at 20, let alone 14? I don't know. Potentially not. But, you know, they took, you know, they've taken players, they've loaned them out. Pep's very good at getting young players minutes. We've seen it with, you know, many, many players over the last few seasons. So there's every chance that this is huge, but it's not going to be huge for MLS, unfortunately.
Yeah, and remember, of course, Freddie Adu. Freddie Adu played for Bolton Wanderers when he was 14. Oh, sorry, that was in my Football Manager career when in 2004 that happened. He did well, though. He got Player of the Season at 14.
It's not real.
So it could happen.
It's not real.
No, it's not real. No. And, well, you know with Sullivan anyway, he'll sign for Man City and then eventually end back up at NYCFC, so we will see him. in MLS at some point. Right, well, that's it from us. Thanks very much for watching on YouTube. Thanks very much for listening on your podcast provider. Remember, if you are watching on YouTube, subscribe, press that button, press the notification button as well. Like the video. We really appreciate it. If we've said anything that you agree with, disagree with, or have no opinion at all, just stick it in the comments. Go on, put in the comments. I have no opinion on that at all. We appreciate anything. And if you are listening on your podcast provider, then please leave a review, leave a rating. But Elliot, there's one rule and one rule only.
For now, LA Galaxy style, 5 stars only.
Who knows if we'll go into next year with that? Probably, because we've been saying that every single year since doing it. Right, we'll be back next time. Enjoy MLS this weekend. But for now, I've been Henry Hewitt.
And I've been Elliot Holman.
See ya.
Podcast Network.